Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life.
Hi, welcome to the show. I apologize, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties here. Hi, Dr. Stefan, is that you?
No, it isn't. It's Deanna in Miami.
Oh, hi, Deanna. Okay, I'm just gonna put you on hold then. I'm trying to dial out to Dr. Stefan. So as I'm doing so, I just want to wish everyone a very, I hope you had a very happy Christmas, if that's something that you celebrate. And of course, the new year is coming up. And if you're feeling a little bit drained from the holidays, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Stefan today about how we can rejuvenate ourselves after such a stressful time period.
Yes, Marie, I'm here and I'm glad to share.
Thank you so much. I dialed the wrong number and then the show started. So anyway, I'm very glad to have you on the line. Thank you so much for being with us. How was your Christmas?
My holiday was wonderful and really joyful, and it really brings back the realization that there's no time like the now. You know, there's infinite celebrations and blessings. Even when things don't feel like they're going our way, there is some kind of an underlying perfection of it all. And it's really valuable to return to that. And I felt that would be a great theme for us to explore today and talk.
Wonderful. Well, I just want to, I see someone on the line. I picked up her call just a moment ago. So from area code 305, your hand is not up. If you do want to get on the air and ask Dr. Stefan a question, please press number 1 on your keypad. So we spoke with Dr. Stefan a couple of weeks ago, and if you're brand new to this show, Dr. Stefan Kassian is a professor of consciousness studies at Akamai University in Hawaii. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, Marie.
And he's here, thank you, and he's here to discuss natural health and wellness, and you are going to be amazed. I don't know how old Dr. Stefan is, but he tells people he's 25, or he tells people he's timeless. He has a 109-year-old mentor who looks decades younger and is in wonderful health, and so we are going to continue our discussion from December 14th today, and welcome back to the show, Dr. Stefan. Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Marie. And yes, you're right. People ask, so what's your age? And I sort of smile and say, I've been 25 for a very long time, and it's really a way of changing your thinking or even unthinking some conditioned patterns of the way we are familiar with. And if you have questions, I'm glad to take them. Otherwise, I wanted to talk a little bit more about, some people were curious from the last call, what the work was at Akamai University in Consciousness Studies, and they had questions about your death experiences and other things like that.
All right. Well, let's first of all, I'm just wondering if you have any tips. We did a little mini meditation on reawakening your DNA, and I think a lot of people may be feeling this. I know I've been feeling it with the Christmas holidays. I had a great Christmas, but I feel really drained right now. I don't know if it's because of the stress of Christmas or if it's because of the weather here in Vancouver. I'm not sure, but I'm just finding that for the last few days, it's been nearly impossible to drag myself out of bed every morning. It's really difficult. And I just feel like I have no energy. And I'm wondering, what tips you have for people who are kind of going through that sort of energy phase.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Marie, and my approach is integrative. So firstly, when it comes to energy, we need to listen to our body. So if you're tired, it's important to have down time and to rest. Also, nutrition is very important. So, during the holidays, we tend not to be as mindful of what we need to eat or what we can or should eat. At the same time, I'm a supporter of indulgence. I mean, if we're really resisting something that we really like to eat and not sampling it, that becomes another obsession. So, when you're indulging, it's also a time after the holidays or during the holidays to detox, if possible, or rebuild your body. And some simple ways to do that would be just drinking the cleanest, freshest, purest water you can. I like to drop some minerals into it, liquid minerals and vitamins. Also, some kind of greens are very valuable, and that keeps your system oxygenated and rejuvenated. But then also, I know last call was about meditation, and that's also important too, because during the holidays, there's so much flutter. I just heard a satsang in which, we talked about the noise. Adi Shanti talked about the noise that we have to deal with, and realizing we're not the noise. And it's so easy to get caught up in the noise. I mean, you have preparation and traffic and commercialism, and also it's a cycle of here where, a lot of family patterns from the past, if we haven't dealt with them, come back up to the surface. So all the more reason to realize it's the noise, and also even taking a few moments, like right now, and seeing the noise, seeing all your busyness, and just taking a breath and feeling just some spaciousness happen around it, realizing that it's a passing, it's a passing holiday, and time passes, things pass in front of our eyes, but there's still a sense of us, an aspect of us that stays still no matter what. And all the more reason to have a routine practice if you can, whether that's in the morning or at night, or even during the day if you feel extremely stressed out, just go back and center yourself in your breath and feel yourself getting some natural distance or spaciousness, knowing you're not the noise, you're not all the holiday craziness. So it's actually a very simple meditation. Just do the simple realization at the start, or if you need some more silence, take it out for yourself and give yourself some time. So that can instantly rejuvenate you. There's a story in Dale Carnegie wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People, but he also wrote How to Have Peace of Mind. And amazing enough, he talked about Henry Ford in his 70s, among other industrialists and productive people, would just take breaks, take a few minutes break every hour, believe it or not. We think of the heart, and when I was studying heart rate and the way the heart beats, believe it or not, it rests a lot. It does not beat constantly. How would you sustain a human body beating all the time? It has a rest phase. So give yourself a rest. There's even stories about in the military, they rest 5 or 10 minutes of every hour. And it also goes back to the theme of resting in between the thoughts, realizing we're not all these crazy thoughts that come and go, really much more than that. And especially during the holidays, it's so easy to forget. And we're really here to remind each other. I get reminded, and I am grateful to have an opportunity reminding other people, too. You know, we're here to remind each other of all that.
Wonderful.
So
I'm
just
feeling more energy already.
Isn't it amazing? And this really goes back into this regeneration. I wanted to talk also about the brain regeneration themes here, because a lot of people have been stressed out over the holidays, and they hear it constantly. And again, I look at an integrative approach here, integrative awareness into daily life here, and moment by moment, hour by hour. So what are some practical things we can do? Well, these are in no particular order, but they're just as they're coming to me. Our brains really are stressed out. We're bombarded with sensory stimuli, noise, as Adi Shanti calls it, that you know, constantly barrages us. We've never had this before in known history. So time away is important from the noise. Also, if you can simply, you know, I'm a fan of these EMF chips. You can put them in your phone. You can find them at a Whole Foods even. You go to the even supplements counter actually has them, or you can get them online. They're simply chips that somehow counteract the radiation produced by cell phones and other devices. So that alone can help reduce the stress on the brain. And there's also the way we stress ourselves out with, you know, unnecessary patterns and thoughts and habits. So really noticing those habits and also stopping ourselves if we're spinning out of control, if we're getting too stressed out, knowing that, look, you know, we can make a choice here of how this is affecting us and stepping away from the noise a bit more. So that's one brain tip I wanted to talk about. And also oxygen. Anytime you can breathe deeply and oxygenate your brain and being, it's important. You know, our atmosphere is oxygen deprived relatively to what has been, you know, recently with less trees and more oxygen being consumed by humans and so forth. So I'm a big fan of anything oxygen related. You can actually get oxygen drops now, believe it or not. There's a supplement company I've begun working with, and it's on my website as well, where I drop oxygen into water, and that helps tremendously. There's also special ionizing machines that help oxygenate water. There's ozone therapy. I've experienced it and recommended it to some people and clients, where you actually get ozone either injected into a body part, be it a jaw or something, and that brings fresh oxygen, or you can even get hydrogen peroxide therapy, where it's an IV into your system. Now, of course, this is to be under a doctor's supervision, but this is just the theme of what oxygen can do, and it's simply put, it can just be breathing deeply. So most of us, when we're stressed or busy, we're not so deep in our breath. So if you're listening to this, just notice how you've been breathing, and as you're listening to this, you might see your breath a bit tight, or realizing you could breathe a bit more deeply. And especially during the holiday flutter, it's all too easy for us to sort of hold our breath. And that in of itself can tend to stress us out. And by breathing fresh new oxygen into the system, you give the body what it needs to help rejuvenate itself, releasing the toxins in the system, giving it the rejuvenative oxygen it needs. I heard that apparently Madonna, the reason why she claims her fame and youth, in her fame, or the reason why she claims her youth, is she sleeps in an oxygen chamber, overnight, and that helps keep her system young. So not all of us have oxygen chambers or can afford to or even want to do that, but it goes back to what you can do simply right now, which is just breathe and allow your body to tell you, you know, it has its own wisdom of how it can optimally breathe. You can always improve that, and that's a simple tip as well. I've also talked to people who during the holidays have memory challenges.
And, yep.
and this is an interesting point, Marie, because, you know, Connie, bless her heart, had asked me to, you know, share health, and people might wonder, what does really health have to do with consciousness and the important work that your publishing company does, Marie? And I really, you know, commend all the incredible spreading of knowledge and light and wisdom that your publishing company does. And it has a direct link. When we are healthy, when our bodies are healthy, we're a much better conductor of consciousness. We don't have consciousness is who we are is. And yet, if we have, you know, disease, discomfort, if we're not breathing properly, that flow is hindered. And we want to make sure we're the maximum conduit of that flow, and we are that flow. So allow the body to, you know, derive its deepest wisdom of optimal functioning, so we can be this integrated human being not just a human doing, as I've heard. So that's a really important point when it goes back to memory, because if we're reading a lot, we're absorbing a lot, we're even listening to this, you know, if we're not attentive, then the memory formation can't happen as well or as easily. So a lot of these are practical and important to remind ourselves of, but especially during the holiday, we tend to forget little details because we're distracted, because this noise is also inhibiting, you know, memory formation. Memory is a byproduct of attention. And there was this amazing brain rejuvenation work I was doing, and I began recommending this to people from experience and firsthand knowledge. It's called the learning curve, and you can Google it online, and there's a local practitioner I work with. And the learning curve, it's a system which basically, it's a machine that you work with that measures the electrical activity in your brain and feeds it into the computer. It actually feeds you back sounds that your brain is making. It doesn't try to make you like any other brain, but what it does is it helps your brain hear itself, see itself, and when it does, it functions better. Memory improves. Attention and concentration improves. And as I was realizing this, you know, one of the first functions of this is to calm the beta, calm the mental noise, this high beta that's constantly around our periphery in our inner consciousness. And that's what causes this frazzled, distracting feeling that, you know, you're sharing with us, Marie, that, you know, all of us are feeling during the holidays. It's a challenge. And contrast that to this alpha brainwave pattern that we've heard a lot about. That's very common during creativity. When we are meditating, this alpha is more present in the brain. It's like a slower brainwave pattern. And, you know, there's less noise in there, and it's a more centered. If you're in an alpha state, you might find yourself breathing better. You might tend to go into alpha state if you're taking a bath or getting a massage or doing anything that's relaxing and creative. And the good news is you can maintain that state throughout the day. That's our practice during this hectic, busy, crazy holiday and into the new year, to resolve to stay awake, resolve to stay centered, to resolve to have this optimal brain pattern. And once again, if someone doesn't want to or doesn't need to go and get this learning curve training, you can do this with breathing, with a meditation. But I will discuss a few other practical things you can do for this. But to complete the thought about the learning curve, it's basically a technology that feeds back to your brain the sound that it's making. And it's a very beautiful experience, I must say. I mean, to actually hear yourself, you know, it's so important for us to feel listened and understood. And it's also a deeper thing to realize, you know, I really am listened. I am understood. I am this expansive universe that pretends to be the noise, pretends to be a busy personality running around, and yet we're much, much more than that. And this brain tool, I call it a brain awakening tool. It's a natural, organic tool to help us remember that and to experience it directly and get it anchored. So you go, ah, that's what it feels like to be in a creative alpha state. So it's a training tool to help that work with people. It'll help you sleep better, help you learn better. If you have ADD, which many of us suffer from, and it's not just organic, it's a societal thing of so much busyness going on, and more with cell phones ringing and computers constantly dinging and emails to be checked around the clock. So we've been brought together and been more interconnected than ever, and yet at the same time, it's valuable to manage all this interconnectedness and negotiate it, as I like to call it. I mean, does it make sense to check emails 15 times a day? No. Or it might, but, you know, what did people do before emails and constant cell phones and voice messages? Well, you know, you went out to dinner and someone left a message. You picked up the message and called them back. People didn't wonder at dinner, oh, my God, I have to check, you know, have to go run back home and check who left a message for me. So our expectations of ourselves are higher. So we also need to manage that. So this brain training is just another example of what you can do practically to help yourself as a learning curve. A session is maybe an hour to 2 hours. Some trainers have free or low-cost introductory sessions, and it's been phenomenal for me in rejuvenating my own brain and seeing people rejuvenate theirs. And it really helps the brain create new pathways and really help access this 90% potential everyone keeps talking about. Where is this 90% potential? Well, it's right here, and we just need a gateway, a little tool to open up to it. Sometimes realizing it is enough. Sometimes meditating is enough. Sometimes we do go and get tools, which is a teacher, whether it's a person, whether it's a book, whether it is a tool like Brain Awakening. And there's another brain tool I definitely wanted to share with everyone during the holidays, because it's been such a fundamental block in all my discoveries and explorations. And it's called HemiSync, H-E-M-I hyphen sync, HemiSync. And HemiSync is a brain tool developed by Robert Monroe back in the 60s, believe it or not. Robert Monroe was a radio executive based in the States, based in Virginia, and he had this unusual experience of going to sleep in the middle of the day and yet seeing his body laying down, yet he was still asleep. He would still hear himself snoring, it somehow with eyes open, he would see his eyes closed, his body asleep. And that was a stunning experience for somebody with a lot of mental noise, who's been raised a certain regimented way that, wait, does this mean I'm more than my body? If so, what does this mean about my consciousness? What does it mean about who I really am? So this catalyzed his exploration. And he thought something was wrong with him conventionally, so he went to see conventional medical doctors, he went to see psychiatrists. He even went down to the Institute for Parapsychology, the world's most famous parapsychology laboratory at Durham, North Carolina, part of Duke University, where I attended. And this was one of the leading labs that started all this so-called psychic research. You've seen these cards before. You kind of guess this card deck. It has a circle and a squiggle and a star, and they were shapes used to help people, you know, in experiments, guess what kind of shape was behind this card. So like a very simple card deck used in these experiments. So Robert checked out, parapsychologically, if anything was wrong, and Ryan, J.B. Ryan, the founder, actually pointed Robert to the fact that they're having cases in the literature, in Eastern literature, of yogis separating from their body. And again, what a stunning thing to come to grips with, because, you know, everything that we're taught conventionally teaches us that we are the body. You know, that's who we are. If something happens in the body, then splat, we're dead. And that's it. Nothing. No more. And ironically, on some levels that's true, but on other levels it's an illusion. So Robert began to work with sounds and sound patterns and experimenting with that. And I had a beautiful chance to work there during the summer as an intern, one of their first interns. And what an amazing experience to meet Robert and deal with these sounds. They're called HemiSync. So how does it work? Well, you can get this online, or you can listen to it. And HemiSync, you can listen to it with headphones. You need stereo headphones, because what it does is you have two different sound frequencies slightly apart, slightly different, that when you put one in the right ear, one in the left ear, it creates what's called a binaural beat in the brain. And the brain starts following that brain pattern, and that's what's called entrainment. Just like you hear a drum beat, a fast drum beat, you get excited and you start wanting to dance and rave, dance up and down. Or if you're hearing a slower drum beat, like during the shamanic journey, that entrains you, it slows you down and relaxes you. Same way how breathing slower, you know, de-stresses you, because you're entraining your body to slow down and get more still, experience stillness. So Robert began developing these sound patterns, and it evolved into HemiSync music, which you can listen to. I don't recommend to listen to while driving, because it will relax you deeply, and you can listen during, you know, when you're going to bed or in the middle of the day, and it's, they have different patterns. One's called inner music, for example. The other one's called sleeping through the rain. And on top of that, Marie, they also developed a technology called H+, which is these hemi-sync sounds along with like a guided meditation, guided hypnosis, guided imagery to help you tune up your brain, help you sleep better, help you learn faster, virtually anything you want. There's a little command tape that kind of, with practice, helps you remember, helps you anchor that experience to anything else you're doing. Kind of like, you know how some people have a little rubber band on their finger to help them remember a habit. You know, oh, I got to stop smoking, so they snap this rubber band to remember. Or how we have mala beads. You know, we chant with mala beads every day, for example. And we have these beads that we move through our fingers to help us tactfully remember who we are and how to get back to that expanded state. And H+ is very similar. It's a code. So they might say, plus, learn faster. And so you'll listen to this tape and you'll get this code at the end. And that'll help you realize that during the day, if your brain seems scrambled, you can say, plus, learn faster. And that will remember that. That's a neurolinguistic anchor that will recall that experience back to you. So those are different technologies. And they have a workshop called the Gateway Voyage. And that's a week-long excursion with a group of other people in this beautiful, beautiful retreat center in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's still there, one of probably the oldest functioning centers I've seen in the States that provide research and technology and great feedback for over 50, almost been 50 years now, I imagine. And I love those the staff there. You know, they're great, great people. And people really experience tremendous openings in the presence of these sound patterns, which are naturally occurring, but, you know, they're just present there with you. And in this retreat, there's less noise externally, so we can go back into the internal noise. Now, we don't always have that opportunity, so we can create that for ourselves. We even can't take a day or an hour retreat, even on a particular day of the week or a certain part of the day. We can even do it moment to moment, breath to breath, take a little time out. So Robert Monroe created this amazing technology, and he called it the smoke is not the fire, because I know on the last session we did, Marie, people were asking about near-death experiences, which are kind of in the realm of out-of-body experiences, and these are a lot of different experiences, and they're fascinating to study, fascinating to explore and learn and grow. But also important to realize they're just experiences. Some people get caught up in them, and almost it can be a distraction of that's all you're seeking is just another experience, another experience, another experience of being out of your body, or what is near-death experience like? They're a tool for insight, but to also, you know, let the experience now lead you into discovering, well, who am I really? Am I just the experience, or am I more than the experience? But that said, I must say, during this Gateway Voyage, I had a tremendous experience of, they call it resonant tuning. There's a tape exercise where we actually listen to these tones in the presence of this waveform frequency with these headsets. And we're all in these booths in this huge mansion-like house, a dozen or so of us. In fact, they wrote it up in the Wall Street Journal. It was so fascinating, one of the participants. It was a writer there, incognito, I might add. And one of the exercises was chanting, tuning to these energy patterns in the body, to the chakras. And it started with a low frequency, and then a medium one for the second chakra and the third chakra. And I have to tell you, before that, I only read about chakras. And I thought, well, how great would it be to actually have a direct experience, a direct knowing of it rather than just a concept on a page? And forgot about that. And then here I am having this experience. I start chanting, and I actually feel these wheels in the body with a different color. Each one had a different color. And then this aha experience of saying, wow, certainly I am more than the body, and I have some kind of an energy body, if we want to call it there, an energy system And that was the beginning of the realization that I was more than even that. Because after that one exercise, we were guided into another one called, they're called focus levels. In other literature and other traditions, they might be called, you know, you might be in a state of nirvana or samadhi or, you know, out of body, for example. But this was a teaching about how we were, they call them focus levels. This is just a way of tuning consciousness to the dial on a radio. So you want to hear pop music, so you turn it to a certain frequency. You want to hear classical, so you keep rolling the attunement to another higher or lower frequency of your choice. So this was a teaching exercise to realize that, you know, we can actually tune our awareness to different facets. You know, awareness can be all expansive, and it can be focused on different facets of our experience. So here we go with a focus 10 of mind awake, body asleep. Focus 1 is alert and awake, here and now. But there's times when we might want to be more creative and want to dip into that. We close our eyes and go to focus 10. Some other focus levels are like focus 12, which is an expanded state. Focus 15 is no time. And that's an amazing, interesting experience because that's when, you know, I first began experiencing what's called the void, or it's maybe more of a non-experience. So this is where words are beginning to describe the indescribable, but it's a non-experience of just expansiveness. But that's a word we give it because that's the closest we can use to describe it. But it was actually a lack of experience, and there wasn't a desire to have an experience like, oh, cool, I want to see color, I want to see this, or I want to see that. It was just this resting, beautiful, peaceful, resting awareness, if we want to even give it those words. So that's another tool to help remind you of who you are. And, you know, we all benefit from these kind of reminders. And that's a very valuable technology to have access to. Fortunately, this technology is very affordable. You can order these from the Monroe Institute, M-O-N-R-O-E Institute. They have a website located in Faber, F-A-B-E-R, Virginia. And they still do workshops, to my knowledge. And Robert Monroe also wrote these amazing books called Journeys Out of the Body, Far Journeys, where he actually chronicled what happened at night. He'd fall asleep at night, and most people fall asleep, and then maybe you'd have a dream, and then wake up, if you're lucky to remember your dream. And however, there's also a practice of, call it dream yoga or sleep yoga, where the intent is to stay as awake and aware throughout all these states, these flutters, whether you're awake or asleep, realizing there's this constant thread connecting you all together, tying your awareness, whether you're asleep or awake, that's still constant, ever-present. So Robert Monroe had this amazing ability, excuse me, So Robert Monroe had this amazing ability where he'd fall asleep and wake up like a few hours later and be floating somewhere above his body, and he'd go to these different realms. He'd describe them. Sometimes he'd encounter different beings, and he found different techniques of how to sort of leave his body and return safely. Let's call it a near-death experience, where he had a certain way where he, quote-unquote, left his body, where his awareness of, on some level, completely detached from his body, and he was traveling through a long tunnel, and then he took a right turn, let's say, and he kept going. And then suddenly he felt a need to return, call it a bladder issue or what have you, and he went back to where he thought he left, and this gap was closed. And so here he's sort of in a panic, looking for a way back into his body, if you can believe that. And eventually he found his way back after much panic, and then he returned, and he found his body very pale and stiff, and it was some major bladder emergency, so he had to run to the bathroom. So he felt like he was really close to death. His awareness was so separated from his body, it didn't include it, that, you know, the body was ceasing to function. The thing for him and that made him realize is that he was much more than his body. So, experienced or not, how do we know how real that is? Someone might, a critic might say it's a figment of his imagination or it's good fantasy literature. And yet, there are stories of people who've been operated on, who find themselves floating above the operating room. They hear conversation and they later record it. They tell the people what they heard, and it's stunningly accurate. And what does that point to? It points to there is some aspect of us that is constantly aware, whether it's in the body, out of the body, whatever metaphor you want to choose to use, it's still constantly aware, registering something and recording this memory. And that also goes just to some people have asked, well, what about memory? You know, is it just a function of concentration or attention? I have memory problems, I have memory issues. What can I do? Well, some of this answer also comes from the root of who we really are, which is beyond memory, beyond the body, more than the body, out of the body, in the body. It's so tremendously expansive, and it includes this memory that seems to constantly record itself. There's constant cases of people remembering things that wouldn't, you know, fit logically or what the brain is. So one realization is maybe you actually do have a perfect memory. Maybe you do have an aspect of you that's called the unconscious. It's been labeled as the unconscious that records and knows all. So from that place, if you have charts of remembering, relax your awareness into this all-knowing, all-remembering, all-seeingness. Just give yourself the possibility of that and explore and see what's there. Because suddenly we're not struggling, you know, almost forcing memory, relaxing into memory, and that does bring in itself the attention, even if it's more relaxed attention, that then can help formulate memories or help recall them. How many times have you tried to remember something, you're like, I can't remember, and you're trying so hard, and then suddenly you relax and take a bath or go out, take a walk, walk the dog, or do something relaxing, and then, I remember it now. So we programmed, we put a request out or into this sense of being, and something comes back. So that's just an important realization to know and to entertain. And in those relaxed states, I've had some amazing experiences where, and this is another brain tool I wanted to talk about, that I have found just senses of knowing or remembering things just come to me, just flood in naturally, like this inner librarian. You can program it and make requests like, okay, I need to write a book about something, you know, a brand new topic, and I don't even know where to start. Well, you can actually do, I call it programming, and this is a lovely technique that's been around. I'd say even more popular during, you know, when hypnosis was becoming well known here in the West. And that is simply programming, you know, before you go to bed. Program yourself just before you're about to fall asleep. Look, I want to remember, you know, put yourself a question out. Or please, let's call it the unconscious, call it your unconscious mind. Unconscious mind, I'd like some guidance in this problem I'm working on. You know, I'd like guidance in writing this book. And call it guides, call it your helpers, call it your inner helper. But this is another command that you give that then brings the answer, you know, because the question already contains the answer in it, and the answer already contains the question in it. There is that perfection, feeling that perfection. The perfect answer will show up in the morning, or it won't. However, getting at this habit does create this gateway where you communicate to your subconscious, and it could show up in your dreams. So the out-of-body experiences, you know, this could help people help understand themselves a little bit better, you know, rather than feeling like you're misunderstood by the culture or even seeking a diagnosis for some experience that is called an anomalous experience because it's not within the confines of a culture that believes in the five senses. Well, we're talking about surrendering your beliefs and relaxing into experience, relaxing into knowing, relaxing into realizing, and being aware of all this. So this leads me into the other tool, Marie, that I wanted to really bring up because we're in this information age. We're overwhelmed. Our brains are stressed out. And this is called photo reading. I'm a big fan of accelerated learning, basically maximizing our brain power so we can experience more life in this world and do some more efficiently. Because if we are struggling, if we are struggling against ourselves and not relaxing into ourselves, then that creates, you know, this kind of friction and attention, which inhibits creativity, inhibits memory, inhibits this relaxation sense. So photo reading, that's one word, and it's been trademarked by this learning company as an integrated brainwave learning material by literally photographing information off of a page, like flipping from one page to the other. You can actually flip through a book in 5 or 10 minutes, allowing all the information to enter into your brain, bypassing the normal word-for-word, linear, you know, one-thing-at-a-time mode that sometimes can get us really jammed up if we're approaching life in a linear way. I mean, is life traveling in a linear direction? Does nature really have that many straight lines to it? I have yet to see one. I mean, it has curves and swirls and these beautiful fractals. You see the way water flows, or smoke rises. It has these curls and curves to it. So, you know, we're talking about a nonlinear world that, you know, maybe even our school systems are sort of linear, teaching people how to add, subtract, divide, when, you know, the world is so much more. And, you know, a 9-to-5 system can't really contain it all. And this is what we're seeing, institutions changing, radically changing, the old systems, old political structures, kind of unable to contain this budding consciousness that's just flowering, you know, on a mass level. And that's the vision of your publishing company as well, to support and uphold, which I really cherish and support with all my heart as well. And so we're going back to this nonlinear form of absorbing information. And it's a course you can take. There may even be a book about it. But if you can take a course, I highly recommend it. It helped me get my doctoral studies completed in half the time. Normally, you know, it's taken as long as 10 years for other students I've met, other colleagues, and I was able to get it done in 5, but without really sacrificing the quality, because if we're rushing through life, we're missing some of life's greatest pleasures. So it was able for me to really absorb in a relaxed way. So how does photo reading work? I'm sure we're kind of all curious, and it's a good reminder for me here, even talking about it. Photo reading is a multi-step process, and it's not just one way to read, but it's about teaching your brain, you know, what if you don't need to read every single word on a book? What if you need to want to absorb several books at a time? Well, photo reading is a way where, number one, you relax your body. Sounds familiar? You breathe in and out very slowly. That's one way to relax it. And also push away distracting thoughts. One way, and this is also from what Robert Monroe's technology taught, is imagine all your thoughts are in a box, are noisy. Imagine they're kind of dancing in front of your field of awareness, your field of vision. So take these thoughts and put them in a little black box and close the box. Take the key, hold the box, you know, push it away from you, kind of behind you. put it behind you, and know you have the key. Okay? So that gives you an instant mental holiday. If you ever want to return to the box, return to those thoughts, you can deal with them at a later time. But this constant distraction and constant noise, does it really serve you, is what you need to ask yourself. So once again, this is just teaching us how to get into an alpha state. And in this alpha state, you actually can look at a book and just skim or scan the chapters, main headings. Give yourself a 3D view. Use your right brain, which is very, I guess you call it, it's a synthesizing brain. It's a holistic processing brain way of looking at the world. So you don't have to read every word. You can kind of look at the big picture right now. Really look at this book. Do you really want to read it? What do you need to get out of it? Ask yourself some questions. Arouse some curiosity. And then you start the photo reading process, which is something I can't really quite describe over this session here, but I can give you an essence of it. You know how as a little kid you'd see the three, or maybe as an adult, and I'd encourage you to keep that little kid alive and return to that creative, exuberant child, because it is a source of creativity and energy as well. You know when you look at those 3D images on a TV screen, or actually no, they would sell them at the store, they looked like mess. But if you merge your 3D eyes in a certain way, you know, there's a bunch of four dots at the bottom of the page, but you merge your vision so the four dots become three, you're actually softening your vision beyond the simple written page. And it kind of looks like it's floating. You do the same with vision with your fingers. Put two fingers in front of your eyes. They create a little floater finger, middle floater finger. And it's that type of seeing that sees beyond that you can actually flip through the pages of a book very quickly, very quickly. Keep your mind open. Don't try to read the words. See the shapes of the words. Realize that they're bypassing the ordinary, you know, seven steps of consciousness. Most consciousness, waking consciousness, can only attend to seven items at one time. And what happens to everything else? Well, this goes back to the mystery of awareness, which records all, knows all, sees all. Even if consciously we might only notice a few things at a time, this is another way to access so much more than who we are, by bypassing this consciousness, just another tool. So you flip through the book. You can even flip it upside down and backwards. This is what gets people. And do the same thing. Read the words backwards and upside down. Photo read the book. And you actually might see where you might feel yourself absorbing. You may even see certain images in your mind's eye. And at the end of this, you close the book, close your eyes, and anchor yourself. Everything I have photo read leaves an lasting impression on my mind and is available to me. So what happens next? Well, I've had some uncanny experiences of photo reading a bunch of books. I mean, 10 or 20 at a time for a paper I've had to write or a research study or a proposal. And photo reading the night before, falling asleep and having the most vivid dreams imaginable. And strangely enough, it felt as if the dreams were processing the information that the brain was presented with. And in the morning, I'd start typing, I'd start writing. And strangely enough, if I hadn't experienced it, I wouldn't have believed it. And again, we are talking about suspending some beliefs about what's possible as we're talking here. We're setting those aside temporarily and giving you a chance to explore and experience for yourself. Does this work for you? And the book would literally write itself. The paper would literally write itself. And that is so exciting to realize. And it was an effortless, joyful experience. And what else can you do? You can draw it out. I actually would do a mind map. I would take a colored pen and draw the different book topics and start linking ideas, how they're all connected. And, you know, this connectedness would come out, that the interconnectedness would connect with the images and the words I'm describing on the page, and suddenly the ideas would all hang together and make sense. And this is all important for us to realize that we are multi-sensory, multi-dimensional, sensual, physical beings. So we have this vast array, this vast tapestry to work with, and don't limit yourself to one type of learning, to one type of thinking, to one type of practice. If you need to explore, allow yourself to. you know, some of the greatest accomplishments or achievements were made by people who hardly could make their way through school because they had such different learning styles. And that gave me an appreciation for, you know, we're not all linear linguistic learners. I learn well visually. That's why I love to draw out these ideas on a piece of paper, and I see them, and I could see all the pieces fit together, and that generates these wonderful new insights that I could not have generated if I only confined myself to a certain way of thinking or unthinking, because, you know, the thought was just one tiny discrete unit when there was so much a richer way of perceiving and using more of my brain. Some people learn well musically, so even playing music in the background. There's technology called super learning, similar to photo reading, which is what it was based on. And I was also fascinated by this. Baroque music. Baroque music is very wonderful to learn with, to relax with, and a very simple basis of what's called super learning is it was a study of some experts, learning experts in Bulgaria, believe it or not, and these studies were done in the, I believe around the 70s and 80s. It was called Sophrology, S-O-P-H, Sophrology, and they studied how people learn, and they found that people who listen to very timed beats learn better, learn faster. For example, you're listening to Baroque music at a tempo of 60 beats per minute, just like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, classical Baroque with harmonics, with music that you play to a plant and the plant grows richer. It doesn't, certain rock music or heavy metal music you play to a plant and it withers. These are studies that have been done. This is harmonious music you play in the background and breathe in rhythm, four breaths, breathe in for four counts, hold for four counts, breathe out for four counts, and listen to some, read something or listen to some information you need to learn. The retention doubles. They've had kids breathe through school who otherwise had learning trouble. So once again, that could improve and help memory, which is really calming the brain, calming the body, breathing slower, limiting distraction and noise, and then in turn allowing yourself to learn naturally and spontaneously without effort. Education comes from the Latin root word educare, which means to draw forth from within, and it's really not about what I'm telling you, it's really about what this is reminding in you that you already know or are rediscovering and are reawakening to. So this is a beautiful thing about perceiving the world in a much deeper way that goes beyond the surface, goes beyond what we've been originally taught. So I know I've been saying a lot, and we're short on time, but if you have any more questions, Marie, or any questions from the audience, I'm glad to take them.
I do, because in the last show there were people asking about the university in Hawaii, and I believe, do you teach from a distance, or how do you teach there while you live in the continental
US? Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Akamai University, a.k.a. MAI University, it's an institution that's licensed for accredited, it's for adults who seek to get master's or doctorates in psychology, and that could include consciousness studies or clinical psychology, behavioral psychology, other aspects. It's not a clinical program, but what it does is it allows you to study independently and earn your doctorate or master's in working in a real-life setting. So, for example, we've had a clinician who worked in Juarez, Mexico, and she was doing studies with her patient base, her client base, and we helped her turn the study into a formal paper, into a formal publishable research study, and then, in turn, she was able to turn that into a master's degree in psychology, which allowed her to then get employment in, you know, her chosen field. So that's an example of that. And it's also a movement to a learning without walls, realizing that, you know, we learn well in our own natural environments. many of us are independent learners. We have an internally driven quest to learn. We do need and want some structure and someone to help us navigate through the waters. But, you know, many of us are already self-motivated, especially if you're listening to this. You already have this inner quest for truth, and you know, you will take the lengths you need to find it. So we've taught a vast array of topics, and that gives you the freedom to explore these progressive ideas that, you know, your publishing company is so near and dear to, and allow to do that in a very rigorous, research-oriented way, which allows you to then professionally come out into the world and speak and reach and research and teach and publish and get to the next level professionally with these newfound skills and this formal body of training. And when you become when you do a doctorate or master's work, you really are discovering something new and researching it and allowing other people to rediscover that for themselves. So it's been a real privilege to be affiliated with this university and teach from a distance and work with students around the world. It's very nourishing, and it's really the wave of the future. There are more and more programs like this that give you a quality of education as an adult that you can integrate into your life without sacrificing other aspects of your life, and really fulfilling the lifelong learning that's possible for us. And also is what keeps my friend, who's 109, so young and vibrant. He told me every day he wants to learn something new. Every day he challenges himself. He doesn't stay sedentary. He said, you know, if every day he just watched TV, he would have just fallen asleep and not opened his eyes a long time ago. He's staying awake to life. So this also fills that model as well.
Beautiful. And we have a question about your website. Where can people find your website?
Okay, well, thanks for asking. Sure. The website where we're developing natural anti-aging tools for rejuvenating yourself, rejuvenating your consciousness, your body, are at thenaturalantiagingsecret.com, just the way it sounds, thenaturalantiagingsecret.com. If people are interested in you know, my personal or professional work, you're welcome to visit the website DR for Dr. Stefan, Stefan Jkasian.com. Dr. Stefan J. Kasian, Kasian.com. And there I have a list of publications, some of which include the Monroe Institute. And what I like to speak and about comes from personal experience or research, or, you know, I like to bring this personal experience to the front where, you know, it's, you know, it has a different richness from it of having already tasted it and be able to share with it. So that website covers other topics that the Natural Anti-Aging Secret doesn't have. The Natural Anti-Aging Secret, we're developing, and we have different tools you can put to use right away to stay young and vibrant and healthy at any age. And, you know, recipe ideas, practices, rejuvenative practices, and that's in the form of a DVD and a CD package. There's other products in the making as well. So we definitely encourage you to come and join that website, come and join the newsletter and keep posted with latest developments. If we have any appearances or speaking engagements, people will be notified on that newsletter, or even feel free to join our Facebook newsletter as well. The Facebook link is available through the website, thenaturalantiagingsecret.com.
Beautiful, thank you. And Dr. Stefan, we are pretty much out of time, but I just want to ask you one more question. We're coming
sure.
up to 2011 in just a couple of days here, and so I'm wondering, we talk about resolutions at the beginning of each year, and we've had a lot of information in this hour and the previous time we spoke a couple of weeks ago. If people could take just one thing and turn that into a resolution for 2011, what would you recommend?
I think the most important resolution we can make is to really know yourself beyond the noise, to really give yourself a moment-to-moment opportunity to stay alive to life, to look beyond the surface of things, to not get so caught up in what we kind of already sense is sort of an illusion of busy, 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 of doing, 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 and allow yourself a resolution to be. If you can't do a moment to moment, do it every day, every morning or before you go to sleep at night. Give yourself some sort of place to retreat back to within yourself that then will kind of radiate out throughout the day and help you stay awake to life and awake to these habits or patterns that there's a part of you that knows better, that knows you can do better and be better. And let that resolution carry you into this new year and beyond. And that's my sincere wish for all of you in this special day and in this holiday.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stefan, for being with us for another hour and also for sharing all of this amazing information. I just want to wish you another year of being 25, another happy year in 2011. Take care and have
Thanks
a wonderful
again.
Happy New Year.
And you too, and to everyone as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So again, that was Dr. Stefan Kassian, and if you would like more information about Namaste Publishing, which he spoke about a number of times, go to our website, namastepublishing.com. We're still having some wonderful sales left over from the holidays if you're interested in purchasing or checking out books, and as well as the plethora of free information, blogs, discussion topics, all of that is at namastepublishing.com, so please do check that out. And in the new year, we are going to be scaling back our schedule. I believe we'll be having a show every second week. So if you are a longtime listener of Namaste, or if you're a new listener, please do favorite the show, because that way you will get an email notification about an hour before every episode goes to air. So again, please do favorite the show. And thank you so much for being with us. I encourage you to join us at namastepublishing.com and have a wonderful, happy, healthy, joyous, and prosperous 2011. We'll see you next year. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.